Live from the In the Room studios located in the NetCarrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
This is D'Lo Brown. You better recognize anytime I want to hear the best in pro wrestling talk, all I got to do is step in the room, my boy Brady Hicks, and it's all good. And if you ain't down with that, you better recognize.
All right, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. The season premiere. This is September now. It's the second September. I missed last week. I had a fantasy football game.
It's your season premiere.
By the way, this song sounded kind of like Adam Rose there. I thought that's what you were kicking off with.
No, that's Saliva. That's a new tune from Saliva. It's called Army. They have a new singer, you know.
I had no idea.
The
extent of what I know about Saliva would probably disgust you. Anyway, welcome to the show, guys. I'm Brady Hicks. I have DJ with me, as well as Ray and Kathy. This is In the Room. If you want to call in, you know, let me just kick off the show right away. I got to say right off the bat, please, guys, please call in. Please. It was so much nicer. Everything flowed so much better when we got callers. 855-VOC-RADIO. That's 855-862-7234.
You think that's bad? Try doing a fantasy football show with no callers on a call-in show. Thank you, VOC Nation Promotions. Yeah, I appreciate that, Ray. But no offense, that really doesn't have much sting when one of the callers is one of your co-hosts. You know,
I will call
we need
in,
other people to,
and you can
other
walk
people to
me,
call for advice.
You can walk me through what I'm supposed to do with a bunch of receivers who aren't apparently going to catch the ball. So that's fine.
All right, look forward to
thank
that
you.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you, Bruce Arians, for targeting Larry Fitzgerald like 5 times. Thank you for that. That was great. That was exactly what I wanted to see. Thank you, Tom Coughlin, for saying, hey, you know what, we're down a lot, so let's just not throw the ball to our best receiver. Let's just keep running
work. He can't help it that the guy throws the ball to the other team every fucking play. It just happens that way.
I thought that was only Romo.
Nope.
Oh, that was something. That was special. What's harder to watch? The Dallas Cowboy defense or a segment on Raw with the Bella Twins?
Hmm.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, I throw Bellas. But as you know, Nikki made it really far in my gauntlet, so.
By the way,
That's just who you want to get in the bed.
You saw the post on Facebook. We have to redo some brackets based on that. Wow.
I redid it, and my winner is still the same. So,
I don't know. Yeah, well, they might be a new runner up. Man, oh man.
I don't know, man. I like what I like.
Well, let me say this. In an attempt to get callers for tomorrow night, the In the Room spinoff, Your Ultimate Fantasy with DJ and Derek. We alluded to it earlier in the show. I'm sure they mentioned it and talked about it last week, which coincidentally on In the Room, I didn't happen to listen to last week's In the Room yet. I'm sure I will at some point. I was off getting destroyed by Yahoo, which kept dropping me out of my own draft. Thank you, Yahoo, for that. So see, ESPN's not the only one that goes through routine maintenance during clutch time.
You like that?
I love
it. Yeah, that was nice.
I love it. I'm ready to go back to newspaper and calculators, honestly. I am so fed up with all these providers that can't provide the service like they're supposed to.
I think you're in more leagues than Ruxin at this point. I don't know if that's accurate, but I think you are.
I'm in
five. It's pretty ridiculous.
I'm
but the,
yeah. They're all those
did you see the Did you see the picture I put on Facebook with the maintenance? Is that
I
what
did,
you're referring
yeah.
to?
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. ESPN, during the Sunday night game, the app and, like, their servers were down. I said, we apologize for any inconvenience. We're performing routine maintenance. Hopefully it won't be longer. So I'm like, yeah, this is a convenient time to perform maintenance on your
fantasy
servers.
You know what the best part of that message was?
What's that?
DJ, the best part of that, because I was – I'm in a league with, you know, just people I've met kind of all over the country. And so, we, you know, we're all spread out, but we're all sitting online talking about it. And, you know, the routine maintenance thing goes up. And the best part about that message was that, you know, it's a, you know, we're performing routine maintenance. We hope to be back up shortly. We aim to provide you with the best fantasy experience possible. Check back in May. My man, that's going to be a long time until I can update my roster. I think I'm going to have some people playing on bye week.
You might have a few. Yeah, a few. Well, make sure and follow ITR Original, everybody out there, so that you can get wrestling and fantasy nuggets put out there.
That's ITR
yes,
yeah, underscore.
Follow him.
Yes,
yes he's a
ITR
much better
underscore.
Follow than me at Ray ITR. I had one tweet for Raw last night, and I sent it out during what would be the 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern hour. And I sent it out then, and this was the only thought I had on Raw. I have not watched 1 second of Raw, and I'm fine with that.
You know what?
I'm surprised you're actually
I
on the show tonight because you've been so down on it lately.
Yeah. I mean,
well, here I am.
Yeah. I think honestly, I think it's just because we're so charming that you're here. I've been down on wrestling as well. In fact, and I'll be the first to admit it. That since the network has come out, I do almost nothing but watch old stuff because the old stuff is so infinitely better. I haven't seen SmackDown since before WrestleMania, and I haven't seen Raw this summer. Sometimes I'll catch, like, the recaps, you know, when they don't get too much into recapping just garbage with their stupid, basically, kiddie show format. You know, if they can actually summarize Raw in a half an hour, sometimes I'll watch that, but I've been a bad wrestling journalist. Bad.
I asked everybody last week, and Brady, you obviously weren't there, and nobody had at that point, but has anybody watched the Monday Night War yet since last week?
Nope.
Religiously.
Nope.
Religiously.
Oh my God.
The only thing I don't understand is why two copies are showing up every week.
Because one is viewer discretion advised and the other one isn't. So one has stuff, extra stuff that the other one doesn't.
Oh, well, how do you tell? They're not described differently.
Because the thumbnail of the screenshot has a viewer discretion advised written on it, on the one that's viewer discretion advised. Because, like, the one
that.
With the one with the I guess it's the Attitude Era one or whatever it was.
The one with the X?
Like the Pillman Austin one and all that.
Right.
Like, they, like, cut out the gun and all that kind of stuff in the one.
Oh, okay.
But it's there in the other one. And all the women, the stuff with the women and all that, I think they had a bunch of that is censored out in the one version. I think that's the one they air. And then you go back and you watch the other one. So, but
I don't need to watch it twice. I really don't even need to watch it once.
The DX one was great. Did you watch that one, Brady?
I did, yeah. I loved it.
This is fantastic. Was Sean not out of his mind or what? Oh,
you know what?
Lord.
That was still that like, 3 or 4 month period, and it's crazy because it was, like, it was a show that I was embarrassed to watch with anybody, but I loved it. Like, Sean and Hunter were, like, fucking out of their minds.
He was from, like, January to, I guess, whenever WrestleMania was, almost April or whatever, January to April. He was, I just think he was just inebriated nonstop.
From when he got hurt?
From at least January, because it was just like, or right before, yeah, no, actually it would have been like November because they did the Merry Christmas mooning job and all that. So, yeah, before that. Yeah, it was ridiculous. Everything he did was some sort of gesture. Oh, man. Entertaining, though.
It was entertaining, but I was one of those people. I remember being really disappointed when Sean left, and that suddenly we got, like, X-Pac and the Outlaws, and I was like, oh, I mean, it just got a lot more serious, you know?
Meanwhile, last night on Raw, Jerry Springer appeared to attempt to resolve the Bella Twins dispute.
Now that's attitude.
That's right. Because I know that of the many times I've watched Jerry Springer, issues are always resolved on Jerry Springer. So I was definitely able to suspend my disbelief and say, I think something good will come of this.
Well, once he gives his final thought, you expect it to all be resolved, right? No, I guess there was no final thought last night.
I don't know. Didn't see it. I will say this.
Get rid of the belt.
I thought this was really interesting. I don't know if you guys are keeping up with the whole Total Divas thing. It's my favorite show that WWE made. I love the show.
Did you see the season premiere, by the way?
I did, yeah. Last week I saw a 7-minute version of the season premiere. So I can keep it on topic.
That bracket would definitely change, is what I'm saying. Thank you to that new
right.
addition to the cast. Holy jeez.
Well, I found it interesting because they kind of like previewed the season coming up. And it looks to me like they're going to treat all those storylines like
rebuilding
the company. Yeah, the Funkadactyl's breaking up, the Bella's breaking up. They're going to treat it like real life, which only further confirms that there's nothing reality-based about that show.
I feel like there was up until now, though. Like, I feel like if they do that,
yeah.
They're going to totally destroy their product, if that's possible. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Can one truly destroy a ball of self-adhesive saran wrap that has already been crumpled?
That's what I mean. That's what I said,
yeah.
If that's possible.
I don't.
On a brighter note, did anyone see Seth Rollins almost die last night on live television? Because that was the highlight of Raw.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Wow.
Did anybody else see it besides Brady?
I saw it. Yeah, it was.
What happened?
At the end of Raw, and this is worth watching alone. If you didn't DVR it, I guess you're out of luck. At the end of the show. What's that?
No shaky camera work, by the way, either. They got it dead on.
You know, it was. It's at the overrun of the show. I think the extra 10 minutes or whatever. But they try to trap Roman Reigns in the ring. With like an outnumber job, so that like Randy Orton and Seth Rollins were in there and beating on him, and so the cage starts coming down that they use for the Jericho match,
okay.
And apparently now instead of like mounting the cage to like posts that are like down on the ground, and like having that be part of the cage, now they do like this like almost like a round hole round peg type of thing. Where it's like this, like empty, like peg with this stake that goes into it, and it like locks in all these posts are around the ring, and the cage has this really sharp, for I don't know why it's really sharp, but this really sharp point, like a stake that goes into the slots of these pipes that are at the bottom of the ring. Okay, now Seth Rollins, they start lowering the cage to trap Roman Reigns in the ring, and Seth Rollins tries to grab a chair and go in the ring to like. Outnumber Roman Reigns, and he goes in right in the middle, like right in the center of where the ropes are. And as he's going in, this metal spike on the cage is about to impale him through the back.
Jeez.
And he like he's going in, and he looks up at the last second, and he's like, oh fuck! And he like just like shoots out of there, and like they stopped the cage for a second. But it was like already after he had already moved, so I don't even know if it would have made a difference where they stopped it, honestly. But then they started going again, and then all the ring guys around are like putting her thumbs up to, like, secure it in. But he never got in the ring, and he almost died on live television last night. It would have been unbelievable. He, seriously, Brady, it would have gone right through him. And they were right on the camera was right there.
It looked like something out of, like, Indiana Jones. It's like he started to slide through, and the spikes are, like, right there.
Or, you know what it reminded me of?
Time.
It reminded me of Saw. Like, it was like watching Saw, like, where you know, they have to do something before that spike goes through their back, and he wasn't doing it. So, like, I feel the camera work wasn't shaky because the guy was probably losing it. The camera guy was probably losing his shit, screaming at Seth Rollins, like, get the fuck out of there. It was unbelievable.
You know,
Google it.
You know what
Seth Rollins almost dies on Raw.
You know what amazes that? Seth Rollins almost dies on national television, which would have been a PR friggin' nightmare for WWE.
Yeah, but it's more than they've had.
Yeah, Seth Rollins almost kills himself on national television, which would have thus created a PR nightmare. He will get work next week. Meanwhile, Abraham Washington makes a joke about Kobe Bryant, and he's gone.
Well,
all right.
Parton Church, right? I thought it was funny. I don't know if I'm supposed to find it funny. I did.
Dude, it was real. It was scary.
That spike was like a dagger. And it came within inches.
Yeah, why does it have to be so sharp? I don't understand. Like, it's
no.
not like it's going. It's not like it's going into like a piece of concrete or like they're pitching a tent or something. It's going into a pipe. It could be a blunt, rounded off. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, it's going inside of like a you know, it's like a male female connector thing.
A metal tube.
Yeah, but no, it looked like a dagger, and I'll be honest. Like, looking back at it, for a second, I wondered if it was part of the gimmick or something. Like, maybe, like, they added some other element to the page or something.
I want you to think about this, Brady. Can you imagine that creative meeting? All right, Seth, now here's what's going to happen.
Your team guy, right, Seth?
At 11:04, Seth, you're going to grab a chair. Then you're going to run in, and this cage is almost going to kill you. Are you cool with that? You are? Awesome. All right. So then what you're going to do is you're going to hurry up and get out because we don't actually want you to die. We just want you to almost die.
Can you
shift ensure that you almost
slightly to the left?
Yes.
Then
and
we
to
can
ensure that you almost yes. And to ensure that you almost die, we're going to make the points on this really extra sharp so that if it touches you in any way, you're basically turned into a human shish kebab.
And we're also going to make them poison darts on the end of these steel cage. It's going to have, it's going to have actual toxins running through the points on the cage. So if it clips you, you will die instantaneously. Holy shit, man. McMahon must have shit his pants when he was watching that sitting back there. Oh, my God.
It is scary how much they have turned into WCW. It's like... That is something the WCW would have done. I guarantee you.
It's like the warrior trapdoor there that he was using.
Yeah, well, like, here's an idea. Let's have a steel cage on top of a steel cage on top of a steel cage. And we'll drop somebody through three levels of it.
We'll put an NBA guy in there or whatever. Or,
fuck
was it? We'll put an actor from the Scream movies in there. What do you think? Let's do it. We'll put Deputy Dewey in the third cage and see how he does. Holy Christ!
I mean, even Jake the Snake, like when he used a cobra, it was like devenomed. Like
yeah,
this
no
was...
teeth. Remember that thing that gummed
monsters.
Yeah, that thing gummed monsters on for like 20 minutes.
He's biting him. So that's where we are.
I love watching that on WWE Network, watching Jake's Christmas present, wedding present to the Macho Man and Elizabeth, and box with Dakota.
Well, who doesn't? I'm so glad that it's accessible now. Uh-huh. But here's what's amazing to me. I mean, if you're talking about Seth Rollins and all that stuff, and by the way, guys, I do invite you to call in 855 VOC Radio, 855-862-7234. For a company that is supposed to basically have their shit together, for lack of a better term, it's amazing to me that something that dangerous could kind of slip through the cracks without anybody thinking, like, hey, maybe this ain't a good idea. Especially if we're going to have guys sliding in and out of the ring as part of a run-in at the end. Maybe this isn't
I don't think that would have made it through beta testing. I'm just guessing, though.
Maybe it's a whole new way of cutting down your roster.
Oh. Yeah, that's the future. That's the way they're going to future endeavor people now.
We're going to cut the roster in half.
Literally. It's funny. The Raw, after every WrestleMania from now on, it's going to be have one of those cages match. It's like, hey, guess what? The Raw after WrestleMania, guess what? Another cage match. And we're going to lower it.
It's a handicap match. Lean forward, Ray.
Everyone in the back, my bad. Everyone who's about to cut is going to have to line up in the back where the lockers are, almost like they're starting a marathon. And then they're all going to have to sprint out through the back, down the ramp, into the ring. Meanwhile, as soon as they're given the word go, the cage is going to begin lowering. And everyone who can get into the ring will be kept on the roster for another year.
Here's the funny thing is I could see a guy like Mick Foley deciding, yeah, what the hell? Puncture me. I'm good.
That's what somebody said that in one of the, it was like, you know, a forum or whatever, somebody posted the animated GIF of it happening and they're like, dude, fucking Foley would have taken it like a man. he wouldn't have run out of the way. He would have taken it like a man.
Oh my god.
Yes. By the way, speaking of the network and all the old stuff that was on, has there been a worse idea than Brother Love ever? Holy crap. What were they thinking, man?
The Brother Love? No, Brother Love
Brother
was great.
Love. He was great, but what awful, too. It was just awful. Oh, man. Somebody's like, hey, Bruce is really pissing me off this week. Let's dress him up in a white suit and put red makeup on him, make him talk like Tim Baker. We'll make him look like an asshole for a few months. Stick him out there. Go ahead, Bruce.
I'm looking at his gif right now. He almost got punctured. Brother Love never bothered me, but.
No, he doesn't bother me, but it was just such a goofy idea. Terrible character.
Yeah.
And then to make him manage The Undertaker, that was even crazier.
I'm looking at that gif again, by the way, and he literally, like, almost got punctured in the lung. Like, he was like...
Yeah, it would have gone right through him.
Like, oh, my God. I'm going to put that on the local
everybody
page.
Everybody Google Seth Rollins impaled.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to put it on the local page as well.
And here's the bad part, is that you know that if he... Let's say, hypothetically... it partially goes through him, and he somehow survives. Just play along with me for a second. You know they're dragging him out there, and he's going to cut a promo about how he's on a breathing machine, but he can still beat you, Dean Ambrose. He's hardcore. Mr. Money in the Bank.
Oh, my God, that was close. I'm still watching it.
Mr. Spike in the Lung is what it is. I'm the winner of your Spike in the Lung briefcase match.
Well, there wasn't a way to get the briefcase off him.
Right, he should have just stuck it on his back.
I think if we're going to improve on this for next year, the cage needs to just go up and down really quickly, kind of like in Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Could there be... Could there perhaps
Seth
be
Rollins?
A match? Maybe like Big Show versus who's the smallest guy left on the roster right now that isn't
Hornswoggle?
That isn't Hornswoggle. Well, I guess Hornswoggle would be great. Put Big Show versus Hornswoggle on a tilting ring, like when you're fighting Inky Koopa, and there's lava all around the ring, and they just attempt to get each other to slide off of the platform into the lava.
Speaking of Mario Brothers, I saw something on Facebook today, like that. Have you seen this? It's you know the star that makes Mario invincible or whatever.
Yeah.
This little. It's like I forget. I guess the little turtle guy. He gets the star and he starts talking shit to Mario. Did you see this? It's pretty funny. And then the mushroom starting like encouraging him. Yeah, go get him. I think he's gonna take out Mario. And they start talking. Oh, it's great. And he goes up to get him finally, and the music for the star runs out, and he's like, oh, shit. And then Mario just steps on him. It's pretty funny. I'm going to post that one, too. Anyway, we're all over the place tonight.
We are. It's one of those kind of nights. My God, that is awesome. All right, I'm going to close this because I'll have to stare at that all night.
Ah, here it is. I found it.
Was there anything else worthwhile from Raw? I mean,
not really.
I can talk about the Attitude Era all night. I mean,
yeah, me
great.
Too. We talked about it last week. We had a little debate last week.
I'm sure
now
you did.
Brady, you watch Total Divas, right?
I love it. Yes.
Okay. I don't know about you, but if I have to hear about frozen eggs one more time.
I think it's great. I like the way they ended it where he like just found like some syringes in the bedroom.
Yeah.
It's like,
you know what my favorite kind
about?
Of frozen eggs are? My favorite kind of frozen eggs, you know those Aunt Jemima frozen breakfast?
Yeah.
They're like a little microwave. They're like a little microwave breakfast, and they got like bacon and eggs and in them. Like those are my favorite kind of frozen eggs, and they're just like a Bella's eggs, scrambled.
Oh boy! Well, you know what I was gonna say? That it baffles me that a company that could get everything so right with the Attitude Era could be so off and so much miss the mark with, like, what its fans want today. I don't understand it. I don't have an explanation for it. I know at some point they started targeting a different demographic and all that junk, but there still has to be an element of giving people at least something that they want.
Who is the demographic they're targeting right now?
Children.
Are you sure?
Slow people. I don't know.
Brain dead people, I think, is who they're targeting.
You know, all right, you guys are familiar with Futurama, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, you remember the brain slugs?
What?
Yeah.
They're targeting people who have a brain slug.
Not to be confused with a butt plug, Brady. I know you get those things confused.
Actually,
nope.
The demographic of people whom they're targeting with the Bella Twins storyline, those actually are people who just permanently have a butt plug. That's the target market. People who are consistently plugged.
Butt plug.
All right, here we go. I think I got something here. Let's see if this works.
Ruffles presents Ruffles Ruffles.
No, I don't want an ad.
I do. What's the ad for? Let's get some sponsorship up in this bid.
That you'd all have perfect tan. People would be impressed. Yes.
Of course I got the 40-second ad.
But your friends would not help you put on sunscreen. And now, you all look like cow people. That's rough. Thankfully, there's Ruffles, built for the rough life.
All right, here we go. This is what I wanted you to hear.
Oh, nice! Not so tough now, huh? What? Come on, jump on my shell. I dare you. I just waxed the trying to back up? Oh, that's right, you can't. You're in my world 1-1 now.
Oh, snap. Check it out. Mark got stalled.
What? No way.
Oh, yo, hey, Mark, man. Yo, maybe you step on his head now and see how many points he's worth, huh? Mark.
Oh, you scared, plumber? You scared now? I'm coming for you.
I like it. He's like, oh, snap.
He's like, Mark.
Check this out. I like that. That's good. That was an enjoyable segment.
I am a huge fan of WWE. I love 5 hours, 6. What are we up to? 8 hours a week?
Minimum.
And you know what else I love? I love the fact that TNA was basically forced to switch nights for fear of competing with WWE, and now WWE is going to stay on Friday night.
Accompanied by his manager, Brother Love.
I decided today that TNA is going to make it. Like, I'm not talking like make it until January. I've decided they're going to release everything that we know, every person that we know in TNA as it is. And it's going to continue. And, like, Ethan Carter III will be, like, the big star on the show.
And they will be Ring of Honor. That's what they'll be. They'll be Ring of Honor.
Well, why do you say that? Because, like, EC3 isn't exactly Ring of Honor quality.
I know he's not. Right now, Ring of Honor isn't exactly Ring of Honor quality.
Well, that's true. They're not. But at least Ring of Honor isn't really on TV, are they?
I think they're still on TV in, like, some C-level markets.
They just got something with Atlanta tonight.
God only knows they're not on TV anywhere near me.
Nor
were they before.
They were on TV in Philadelphia before when they were on HDNet, although I didn't have HDNet. Now?
Brady, do you want it on a little secret, Brady?
Yeah.
You want it on a dirty little secret? Nobody had HDNet.
I used to go to one of those illegal stream sites. Because
like,
they would have the pay-per-views and they would also have the HDNet streams.
But I don't even think that... I don't even think Mark Cuban has HDNet.
And he owns it, right?
He does, I think. I don't know. Does he still own it? I thought he sold it.
Ah, who the fuck cares? I get the joke, though. Yay, wrestling.
What do you think about taking a break and maybe, like, coming back and kind of regrouping? And maybe we'll get a caller. Maybe we won't. I don't think we're going to make 2 hours tonight. I can't see that happening.
I just have to go back and watch the rest of
Total
Divas. Yeah, I got to watch the rest of Total Divas tonight and finish it all. I'm almost done.
Okay.
I know. Hopefully Rosa gives another report on her enhancements while she was on leave.
And her eggs.
No, that's Nikki.
Guys,
if I
flick my finger really fast inside, in and out of my belly button, I can make this really cool snapping noise.
Was Rosa, Kathy, you might know this, was Rosa really in rehab for a year?
Yeah, as they said.
Yeah.
She was on TV, wasn't she?
No, she was gone for a while. I don't think
yeah,
she realized.
She's been gone for quite a while.
Well,
she
I guess
the
I didn't know that.
She was with the mask guys when they weren't masked. With the clones, right?
Right, right. That was
yeah.
the last
and,
time she was around. Right before they changed to the El Matadors or Los Matadors
yeah.
or whatever.
Didn't
that's
she go with
she
Alberto Del Rio or something? Or am I just remembering that and that didn't happen?
That didn't happen, I don't think. I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't remember it.
No,
anybody
but,
else remember that?
Rumor has that she
yeah.
was drinking. Rumor
what?
Has she went out drinking with one of the road agents. Then she got shipped to rehab.
And then she what?
Got
shipped to rehab.
To rehab.
Oh.
Is that
okay.
a song? Can we cue? If it is, can we cue it up for the next? For the next segment, shift to rehab, because that's where Raw needs to go. Raw needs to go to rehab. Intense wrestling rehabilitation.
Rehab is for.
855.
Raw, here you'll learn to accept things for what they are.
I wonder if when you get out and you finish, they set off pyro and stuff.
855
here when you get out of Raw rehab, the ghost of Freddie Blassie shows up and tries to sign you to his stable.
Kicks you to none.
855-862-7234. This is In the Room on the VOC Nation Radio Network. Net Carrier and Cloud, all that jazz. VOCNation.com, VRadioHits.com. Be back on the other side with more of these. Not just the blue. Well, you're bringing it back, just about to get what you want. It's easy to ignore a trouble. When you're living in a bubble. So what are you gonna do when the world's gonna open around you? So what are you gonna do when nobody...
Live from the In the Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hey everyone, it is your favorite knockout, Mickey James, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. Thanks for coming on down. It's Save Wrestling, the podcast, and the business making town. I am your award-winning hostess with the mostest, Shelly Funtime Martinez, and she is my co-host, Dazzling Danielle.
Woo! Hello out there.
And together we are the Martinez Girls. You finally did it. And you can join us here Monday, new time, 6 p.m. Eastern on the VOC Nation as we save wrestling together, Danielle. Fighting crime. Woo!
Hey, guys. Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room, thebradyhicks.com, and for the first time ever, vocnation.com. So happy to be part of the family. Join us each and every Tuesday night, 9, 8 Central, vocnation.com, thebradyhicks.com, myself, DJ, Derek McDonald, Ray Bogus, Anthony Sarlo, Kathy Fitz, breaking down all that's going on in wrestling today. And so much more.
Hey, it's me, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. NetCarrier has many great products and services to increase your bottom line. Be sure to ask your NetCarrier representative about our hosted PBX. Call NetCarrier today for a free analysis of your phone bills. 877-255-7733. That's right, 877-255-7733. Call now.
The second building that was hit by the plane has just completely collapsed. The entire building has just collapsed as if a demolition team set off. When you see the old demolitions of these old buildings, it pulled it down on itself and it is not...
We are live with Carmine Confidential.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Like everyone else, you were born into bondage. born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind.
Listen to Carmine Confidential. Weekdays at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. VOC Nation Radio Network.
The most polarizing personalities worldwide. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Looking for a DJ? Looking for someone to host your event? Then look no further. Philadelphia's hottest DJ and host, The Voice of Choice. The Voice of Choice has hosted the hottest events in the tri-state area. Book The Voice of Choice for all your karaoke, conventions, and parties. Go to www.vocnation.com for more information or email The Voice of Choice at voc@vocnation.com.
Are you getting lost in the cloud? Is technology moving too fast for you? Find your way at netcarrier.com. Ride the N-Cloud and soar above your competition.
This is Buggy Nova, your Candyland princess, and I want everyone to know that I love VOCNation.com.
Hey, how's it going? This is Amy Dumas, but you may know me as Lita. You're listening to the VOC Nation.
Welcome back in the room on the VOC Nation Radio Network. Please give us a call. 855-VOC Radio. That's 855-862-7234. Of course, we're here live. In theory, we're here from 9 to 11 every Tuesday night. 9 to 11 Eastern. I don't think it's happening.
A fantasy show that nobody's going to listen to tomorrow.
I got an hour
tomorrow night to kill with nobody listening. Fuck that.
What time?
Thank you.
DJ, I'll listen.
Thank you, VOC Nation Promotions Department.
What time
Thank
is
you,
it, Kat. DJ?
9:30 to 10:30, Wednesday evenings. You have to say it like this, Brady, if you're going to say it. I'm like Fandango now. You got to say it like this. Your ultimate fantasy with DJ and Derek.
You need Derek to do
it. Oh, here.
Hang on.
Yeah, maybe
so,
I should hang on. It's your ultimate fantasy.
Yeah.
DJ and Derek.
Call us now.
Call us now.
Nobody listened to this show, right? Nobody listened to it, right?
I listened to like the first like 5 minutes or so.
Did you hear the theme music? Did you like the theme music?
I did. Yeah.
I think your tagline should be if your fantasy team has holes, we'll fill them.
There you go. But I'm
it reminded
so this
me.
Is the theme.
It reminded
this is the
me
theme.
Of like that old like. It reminded me of like that late night old Prism content. You know,
yeah, Showtime.
Yeah.
Cinemax.
Well, I was thinking the way Ray was announcing it, I was waiting for $2 per minute. Yeah.
Right. 99
yeah,
cents
exactly.
Each additional 26. That's why I said dial us now.
I think you hit the nail right on the head last night. You were like, did somebody order a pizza?
Somebody order cable? Yeah.
here to fix your copier?
Yeah. Anyway, so that song.
I'm here to
American
check your toner levels.
Yes. Someone have problems with their plumbing? Yeah, so that's from American Pie when Jim doing the dance on the in the with the webcam and all that. Yeah, so
Nadia. Nadia.
I have reserves. Anyway. Go Trig boy, it's your birthday. Remember that? He's like, this is my trig class. Go Trig boy, it's your birthday.
I think my favorite part from those movies is when he uses super glue to jerk off.
Jesus, man. Yeah. All right.
He thinks it's lube.
Yeah. That's the second one.
Yeah. Yeah, we're on vacation.
And he's like, they're like, hands up. He's like, I'm glued.
I can't.
I'm glued.
You guys are not going to believe this. With all the perverted things I say, I've never seen one of those films.
Oh, you are wow. Missing out. And then he goes. I like when he goes to the doctor, right? When he's going to get his hand removed, and he's like, "What do you say?" He said, "I think he goes. Oh, my dick looks like a paint by numbers or something." He said, and then his dad goes to the doctor, and he goes, "Is there anything for you to maybe shave a couple days off? My son's supposed to meet a girl in like 3 days." He's like, "Well, I would advise your son to keep his pants on at that party, but here's a cream to hopefully shave a couple days off." And Eugene Levy, he plays like the best, like, you know, like dry sense of humor comedy guy. He's like,
yeah.
"You hear that, son? It's a good news day." While he's wearing a ace bandage around his nuts because he just had to have his hand removed from his schlong. He says, "It's a good news day, son.
Good news day."
You hear that? It's a good news day. It's like, yo, just come on, pops. I just had to walk through the emergency room with my hand super glued to my cock, and you're telling me good news day.
Oh, jeez.
I forgot about that.
Right. Ray, I advise you to watch them. They're very funny.
Yeah, definitely, Ray. Let's talk Monday Night Football, because I know you wanted to talk about that game, Ray. I know it's bugging you.
Well, no, because I know that this is a wrestling show. Despite my protests, I'd like everyone to know that I am engaging in a wrestling show only because I enjoy doing the show with people I do it. The content of the show is it's under protest from me. If we came on and just never talked about wrestling again, I'd be fine with that. Anyway, no, I do want to talk about football, but I have a thing related to football that could tie into something that might make wrestling somewhat more enjoyable just right away. It's a very simple thing. And for those of you in the Eastern and the Eastern time zone and in God's time zone, that being the Central, for those of you who went to bed at a reasonable hour, you missed the best drama on Monday night. And that was the end of the Cardinals-Chargers game. No, that was the best drama going on Monday night. It was the most compelling television. And part of the reason was that it was a close game. It was a reasonably close game the whole time.
Yeah.
The other thing is that as the Chargers collapse was happening, the commentators made a point of reminding us that this would be yet another in a long line of Chargers Monday night collapses.
Yeah.
And just knowing that, just having that out there, made it more dramatic. Because then you were more almost in tune to their desperation.
Okay.
WWE has no sense of their own history anymore. Part of the reason that you want to watch WWE anymore is because it is, for all practical purposes, the history of wrestling now.
Okay.
But you don't get a sense of that when you watch. And I think if they could even just give us a sense of that when we watch, that might in and of itself make it more enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean,
hmm.
It's true. I mean, I don't know where you begin to do that, though.
I'll give you an example. Maybe you have a pay-per-view match between, I mean, pick two guys. And you say,
Holly,
you know,
and Hornswoggle.
Okay, terrible picks, but okay, we'll work with it. Let's go with Wade Barrett and The Miz.
Wade Ball
and The Miz.
Wade Ball.
Let's say, as the 6-minute mark approaches, commentators maybe start to mention, and you have to do this with things that are true. I don't know if this is true because I'm just kind of giving an example of it. Maybe The Miz hasn't won a match in the last 2 years that's gone over the 6-minute mark. Even something like that, and watching him try to hurry up and finish before that would be compelling. But we don't even get something like that.
Right. You know what? I mean, that's fine and dandy and all, but, like, they have the worst statisticians in the world. Like, sometimes they'll be like, yeah, The Miz is a former, like, bad example. Okay, they'll be like, they'll give guys, like, they'll say, like, Cena's a former Intercontinental Champion. And he's not.
No, he's not.
They do stuff like that all the time. It's like they just, like, make up history in order to fit in, like, a convenient little, like, soundbite.
Well, that's sort of what I'm getting at, is that they only acknowledge something so far as is something convenient for 1 second. And sometimes they acknowledge things that aren't even true. But just like right. Little things like that, I think could make a huge difference. And they'd be easy fixes.
It's an easy fix. I agree with you. Honestly, you'll notice that they used to do stuff like that, and I think part of the reason why they don't do it anymore is because Jim Ross isn't there, and he's a guy that actually cares about wrestling and actually remembers what happened in the past and is able to relate that on a storytelling level. I don't think the commentators that they have today are capable of doing that.
Well, if we're to believe Jim Cornette, you know, everything is scripted down to the syllables. So, you know, I'm sure over the course of 7 days, you know, I'm sure there's someone at Stanford not doing anything. Which sure as hell isn't uploading new content to the network. You know, I'm sure they could get someone on a research and development team.
I guess.
Anyway, that was my thing. Let's talk some football.
No, I think it's fine. By the way, I have this for you guys. Here you go.
Boy, that doesn't look too bad, Jim. Good job, doctor.
Wearing a diaper.
The spelling should subside about 8 or 9. Each party's in a week. Oh.
Oh, oh.
my son has a party in 7 days, and there's a young lady coming that he's been waiting to. He's been waiting to get with.
Tell your son to keep his pants on.
Oh, yes, I don't believe it.
Goes without saying. I'll be talking about that.
But if his pants decide off during the party, could he have full use of his penis? Okay.
This should shave a couple of days off.
Oh, good. Thank you, doctor. That's good news.
This has been a good news day.
And then he puts the sport coat over him to walk out wearing his crotch cast and
he's wearing like a crotch cast and a members only jacket over himself.
This has been a good news day. Yeah, Ray, I think you bring up a good idea. And again, like so many other problems that WWE has, I think it kind of falls on like lazy presentation, you know? They don't seem to want to do the little things that they used to do that make it, I don't know, more compelling, more believable, whatever the case may be. They just seem like they're constantly cutting corners.
They're a five and dime store in an Amazon world.
Yep.
Yep. So anyway.
Yeah, do you guys have anything?
Those jets sure look good.
I think we could probably transition to the lights out, maybe get out of here a little bit early tonight. I have an obvious scumbag. It's obvious to me.
She got a little lippy, right?
You know what? She still is going on the media talking, and we're talking about Ray Rice's wife. She's still talking about how she has to play a part in the blame.
Well, she spit on him, which didn't help. I'm sure that there's no excuse for what he did. Let's start by saying that he's absolutely wrong.
You know what
wrong,
Ray Rice's wife sounds like? You know, she's still going on. She's still going around saying that. You know what that sounds like? Someone who's going to be dead soon.
Yeah. Well, here's my
thing.
What gets
me is that she still married him after all this happened. I don't understand that.
Well, I was saying to some people, it almost reeks to me of like, I don't know, I'm not going to go so far as to say he's paying or whatever, but it's almost like one of those like publicity marriages, you know, like they arranged it almost to help save his career after that stuff started to come out. Like I almost find it hard to believe that they're really together in real life, you know.
Well, considering I hear that he's getting his guaranteed $25 million.
Is he still, though?
Not for long.
No, they said that this afternoon.
Well, I didn't hear that. Here's what bugs me. And, like I said, I've been called warped before. I've been told that, like, you know, I come up with some crazy-ass things that do bother me. It annoys me that the Baltimore Ravens would fire Ray Rice, let the NFL suspend him, whatever the case may be. I'm not saying that they're wrong to do that, but it happened within, like, 6 weeks of, like, commissioning a big-ass statue of Ray Lewis to put right in front of the stadium. I mean, here's a guy who stabbed somebody to death. And I know we don't have video of it.
Allegedly.
He wasn't able to play that. Allegedly, yeah.
Allegedly.
And I know Derek would be jumping all over me if he was on the air right now, but come on.
Now, I'm going back quite a few years, and I'm sure you guys don't remember it. There was a guy who was, I think he was like one of the top round picks for the Eagles. Leonard Mitchell.
Okay.
He and his buddy were involved going down the shore one night and walking the beach, hanging out, drunk, and they both raped this girl. Okay.
Okay.
Arrested, convicted, the whole thing. You have a guy, Ray Lewis, supposedly, stabbed somebody, he's allowed to play.
Uh-huh.
He won the Super Bowl MVP that year. Won an MVP
exactly.
The year it happened.
Wasn't there the situation with the guy from one of the Cowboys last year?
Yeah, the drunk driving.
Drunk driving. And isn't he still playing?
He's not back yet. But
no, he's not back yet. Here's the difference with that cast. Here's the difference between Ray Rice and Ray Lewis and the Cowboys incident.
Mm-hmm.
If you're stupid enough to get into a car with a guy who's that drunk,
I agree.
You did that to yourself. Ray Lewis's victim did not lie down and say, "Hey, Ray, how about you stab me?" Ray Rice's wife did not ask him to beat her in the elevator.
I agree with you fully.
Ray
Bogus
is kind of unhappy. Is kind of unhappy that he's talking about two other guys who share his first name, who are stabbing people and beating people.
Mm-hmm.
One of you is going to slip and accidentally plug my name in for one of the Baltimore Ravens.
It's easy to make that.
I mean, they were trying to say that the state police was covering the tape up, and it wasn't. State police even put it on their website. We never saw the tape. Atlantic City PD. Atlantic City Prosecutor's Office has it, and Revel.
I'm of the belief, and this is just my opinion, that that tape would have never come out publicly like this, at least this soon, not for a long, long time, had that casino not closed down.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
If that casino was still operating, I don't think you would have seen this now. I think the fact that it closed down and...
Yeah.
What's that?
No, I just said that it'd be in a security closet somewhere because it's bad press.
Yeah, nobody gives a shit about it now. But they're like, what are you going to do, fire me? You know what I mean? Like, that's probably whoever
exactly.
got the copy of the tape. Like, what are you going to do, fire me? Like, place closed down and probably sold for a shit ton of money to TMZ and, like, you know, doesn't have to work anymore because they sold the tape and didn't have to worry about losing their job for selling it because the place closed down. So if the Rebel was still operating, then this would still be under wraps at Revel and whoever small group that saw it, which I believe the NFL was a part of seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they didn't see it. I'm not saying Goodell saw it. I don't think Goodell saw it, but I think that people that he trusts to tell him things saw it.
I mean, DJ, here's the thing. This is kind of in that vein. I didn't buy it initially. When the NFL and the Ravens stood by Ray Rice when it first came out, and they just gave him a 2-game suspension. Because here's the thing.
What do they think happened?
Don't just suddenly start beating your fiancé.
Well, not just that, but how did...
This is,
like, they just saw the tape of her getting dragged out of the elevator. What did they think happened to her? Like,
here's the thing. That point aside...
It's a pretty big point.
You know that something like this has happened before. This isn't the first time.
Well, you don't know that. You may know that, but you don't know.
You kind of do.
But my point about them, that they basically saw what happened without actually seeing the altercation. They still had an idea. So all of a sudden, it's bad enough for all this to happen now. Because there's another tape, and it wasn't bad enough before when you knew what happened but didn't see it. Like, that I don't understand. I got an alert today that EA Sports will have Ray Rice out of Madden by Friday, like by a download or something. Like,
wow.
So this tape makes it worth him pulling him out of Madden. But the fact that, like, you knew that this happened before in February – was enough to let him stay in the game or to let him keep a job
think,
or, like, I don't understand it.
Regardless of who saw the tape and who didn't, I don't have a problem conceding that nobody saw the tape, that for whatever reason it just didn't get out there or it just never got to the right hands. That's fine. But whether they saw it or not, I think Roger Goodell, as soon as he handed down that two-game suspension, he faced a backlash like he never expected he would. I think he thought it was all going to go away. And when it didn't go away, he even made a point of saying, like, two or three days later, like, you know, we have this new policy. You know, first offense, 6 games. If it's serious, at my discretion, you're gone from the game. Second offense, you're gone from the game, basically, is what he said. They went into PR mode almost as soon as he handed down that sentence because people were coming after the NFL for it. And I think to a degree that they really, for whatever reason, didn't expect. I think they really just thought it was going to blow over, and it didn't. So, you know, whether they just saw the video or not, I think they were looking for a handy excuse to fix the mistake that they felt that they made in late August. And that's what
they did. Absolutely no doubt.
Where the hell was everybody in February? Forget August. Where were they in February and March and April?
They were reviewing without the video, apparently. They were reviewing what he did without video.
Yeah.
I thought I saw the video before.
You saw the video of him pulling her out of the elevator, from the outside of the elevator.
I guess.
And like I was saying earlier, there's actually a longer version of the tape with audio where, like, you know, you see that, like, the more of an altercation in the elevator, and, like, she, like, you know, leans into him and, like, spits on him or whatever, and that's when he, like throws the left hook. And, a lot of people don't realize that, like she wasn't knocked out by the punch. She actually hit her head on the railing.
Yeah.
In a slow motion. Like, you could see her smack her head on that metal railing from after he knocked her. Like, knocked her out. Like, not knocked her out, but, like, knocked her crazy into the side of the wall. Yeah, he punched her and knocked her into the wall when he hit her in the face. And she hit her head on the rail, and that's when she, like, went out like a light. And then she was just, like, you know, like, completely, like, motionless. Yeah, you're right, Brady. Scumbag. Scumbag of the week.
I have a lighter scumbag.
I don't know.
Right now. It's been scumbag
it
since then.
It does bug me, and I don't want to dwell on it because obviously people know how I feel about Ray Lewis and everything, but it annoys me that they would do this in the same time frame that they would commission a giant statue for a guy that I believe and a lot of other people believe stabbed somebody to death. You know, even if he didn't, the fact that he's tied in with all that, to me, would be like a light go off in my head. Like, hey, maybe we shouldn't, like, build a statue
ray of light.
On it. A ray of light. You can't even get that video anymore. It used to be on YouTube.
I know. It's hard to find, man. Let's stop talking about this Simba shit.
So I have a lighter scumbag for you.
Yeah, that's
if you want a more fun scumbag. So, a fun bag.
My fun
bag of the week is star Philadelphia Eagles running back and fantasy stud LeSean McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
I have thoughts on
who left? Who left? A 20-cent tip.
It's fake. It's fake, dude.
Yeah, that's what I
said. Was that confirmed fake?
Yeah.
Well, then never mind. He's got a scumbag.
He's still a scumbag. But it's fake. It's fake because it was actually he's a scumbag just because he's a cocky son of a bitch. But that was actually Sean Connery's receipt that somebody photoshopped to have LeSean McCoy's name on it.
I did see that.
You can find the same exact receipt online with Sean Connery's name on it.
Regardless of who left it, this is what I always tell people. And again, maybe this makes me an asshole for saying this, but it's a tip. This is how I feel about the service that you provided me. You can say 15, 20%. You can say 10% if you're annoyed or whatever. I don't think you should ever be under an obligation to give a really generous tip If somebody didn't give you the service they should have given you.
Here's my thing, Brady.
Here we go.
You don't agree with
that? I am.
You know my policy.
To an extent, I side with you. In the case of leaving like a preposterously low tip, I am of the belief that you leave no tip.
Exactly. Yeah.
Either you tip, and you tip a reasonable amount, or you, or if your service is poor, you leave none.
Yeah. Well, I think some people do it just to be cheap, and that's where like. You know, if you're leaving a 20-cent tip, that's just being a jerk. But like, if you don't like the service, then don't leave a tip. But if you're just leaving a cheap tip because you're cheap and not because the service was necessarily bad, you're just leaving 20 cents because you feel like being an ass. Then you're just an ass. But no, you know my policy with the tipping thing. Remember that whole takeout thing. I people destroy me for it, but I don't give a shit. I'm gonna continue to not tip takeout people. I'm not gonna continue to not tip people at jobs that get paid an hourly rate doing their job.
I agree.
I don't get tipped to do my job, and I even put out a little tip jar. Said, here, if you like the way I do my job, tip me. Like, it's ridiculous, because that's what they do at all these places. They put a little cup or a little mm-hmm. can or whatever. Tips appreciated. Guess what? No, you just did your job to at a satisfactory level, which means that you're going to get paid and not fired. So nobody needs to give you any extra money.
No,
like,
when you
get served at a restaurant, tip them.
My exception to this is waitressing and waiters my exception is people who make below minimum wage.
Right.
Yeah, them.
People that
get paid a
tipping wage. Yeah.
Yes. For them, I struggle, even if the service is bad, I struggle to not leave a tip of some kind. I was always taught that...
No, I agree.
I was always taught that even if the service is bad...
That's still how they make their money.
If you can't tip between $2 and $5 minimum, that you just don't need to be going out.
But you got to remember, if you got a $20 check, $5 is more than 20%. So, you know, like, not getting that. You know what I mean?
If you can't tip between $2 and $5, then you don't need to be going out at all.
And don't get me wrong here. I don't want people to misunderstand what I'm saying. I never don't tip. You know, I'm just saying.
I'll tip somebody. I will always give 20%, like, for, like, just normal service. If I feel it's just normal, they get 20%. And they might get, like, you know, I might round up if I thought it was really good service, but nothing crazy. But if it's service that I'm not happy with, like it took a long time or whatever, and, like, it's 15. Nobody ever gets under 15% for me. But 15 is what they get if it's what I felt was poor service. If it's, you know, better than poor service, if it's decent service or good service, then it's 20%, and anything is great. If it's great, and if it's somebody place I go all the time and I happen to know, like, who's serving me or whatever, then they might get rounded up. That's tough,
sure.
too, because sometimes you know somebody that's serving you, and you got to up them a little bit, because then, you know, they start talking about you with their
friends.
Well,
my rule is that if you're waitering or waitressing, and I know you, my rule is I won't go to where you work.
What if it's really good?
I guess I'm finding someplace else.
I don't know, man.
I go to friends all the time. You know,
I might go there if I know you're not working.
See, that's the thing, like, how I said about the takeout thing, how I'll never tip for takeout. And, like, I just don't do that because I just don't believe in it because you're getting paid, like I said already. I had that situation where, like, somebody I knew was doing – you know, like, they kind of go on a rotation at, like, when you do a restaurant or, like, whatever. Like, they'll either be waiting tables or whatever, or that night they'll be on takeout, you know, how they'll rotate. You know what I mean? Some people have, like, the counter service where they're handling all the takeouts. So, like, the one night I ordered and I went to pick it up, the person handling takeout was the person I knew. You know, and obviously didn't really know that when I ordered. So, if that was a – an exception to my own rule is I had to tip takeout that night, because if I didn't, then I was, then
well,
that would have been an issue later on.
I have always had, and I don't know what it is now that I've moved. Now that I've moved out to the VOC Western Studios.
Okay.
But I don't know Arizona law, but I know in Indiana, and this is why I do usually give something to the takeout people. I know in Indiana, restaurant owners are allowed to pay them a percentage below minimum wage if they're running takeout, because they're still run through as a dine-in order.
Now, well, anybody I've talked to that I know that works, like in the service, food services or whatever, they say when they're doing takeout, they get paid the normal hourly rate.
Well, that's like I said, it might vary state to state. For me, just because I knew that they were paid a percentage below where they should have been, I usually tried to leave something.
I don't. You handed me my bag, so I'm going to take the bag and I'm going to hand you what it cost. And guess what? Most of the time, the person handed me the bag didn't even fill the bag or take the order for the bag.
Sure.
So guess what? I'm not tipping all three of you, so none of you are getting tipped.
They just take your money.
Go.
And you're right. You get paid for that,
Right.
You did
a great job ringing me up. Here's $5.
I do that with buffets sometimes, too. Like, if they seat me, they don't come over and check on lunch, and they don't clear my plates. What am I tipping them for?
No, buffet is a standard $2 a plate. That's the rule, man.
Right, but only if they clear my plates, and only if they check
on No. By a plate, I mean, like, a person. Like, if there's four of you there, you each give $2. That's what I mean by every person tips $2. It used to be $1, but I think it's up now because that was like 20 years ago. I do, it's $2 a customer for the buffet. Because you're right. All they do is, like, if you go to the Pizza Hut buffet, I might tip that a little bit more because they all they do is take your drink order and then leave you alone for the most part.
With the soda.
They put your check down
perfect.
Before you finish your first plate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That sounds perfect. Give me my drink and then you leave me alone.
Right.
Yeah,
unless it's to bring me another drink.
And again, I do, I'll put down $2 or whatever. By the way, guys, I don't want to change the subject on you, but I did just get some news, some sad news, actually. Former WWE and WCW star Sean O'Hare, remember him?
Yeah.
Yeah, he passed away.
No.
Yeah. Well, it's not confirmed, but Scotty Riggs and Mark Jindrak are both saying it, so looks like it's probably true.
Meat. Brady, cue up some taps. Cue up some taps for Sean O'Hare.
He had that that physique that led you to believe that he may have been pretty
partook
involved with. What's that?
He partook. I would assume.
I can't assume it. I mean, I can't. I'm not throwing that accusation out there, but he was always kind of jacked. He had that kind of Eddie Guerrero look, you know what I mean?
And he also left around the time when they started testing. Again, I'm not accusing him.
Did he have a heart attack?
I don't know how he died. I just saw the thing. No,
well,
I don't think
he was probably waiting tables. He was probably waiting tables and got a 20% and got a 20-cent tip. Or maybe he saw Ray Lewis.
Thank you for making me laugh. Yeah. I don't know what the deal is. I remember. There were like two real big things with him that really stuck out for me. The first being the Natural Born Thrillers. They were pretty good in WCW there toward the end. It was actually like one of the few times I felt like where WCW actually like had their own homegrown talent that was actually good, and they got behind them, And then he also, I don't know if you guys remember, but he did that stuff with Roddy Piper in WWE. Like, he was mostly on SmackDown, I think, but he was tied in with the Hulk Hogan and Zach Gowen stuff for a little while.
I do remember him being a part of, like, some of Terry's hottest moments. It was like when she was, like, with him. Terry Runnels?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like when she was like out of control with her outfits and just like ridiculous for the viewers. And that was like when she was with meat.
So if that's true, I mean, that sucks. Obviously, he's been out of the spotlight for a while, but, you know, you never like to hear. I mean, he must have been pretty young. I'm thinking he was, like, our age. I don't think he could have been too much old. I don't think he could have been in his 40s yet. I can't imagine.
It actually happened yesterday, Brady.
Did it? I didn't read the full report, but I just saw a thing that was posted at 10:05.
Actually, no, this says September 9th. Okay, Scotty Riggs reported it via Twitter on the 9th, but he died at age 43, on Monday.
Wow, okay. And it seems like it's probably true because a lot of people are starting to weigh in on it, and well, I guess weighing in on it isn't really proof, but it seems like a lot of people are talking about it, so it's probably true. Unfortunately,
What is it with this show and us winding down and like tragic things happening?
Why am I? Oh, I got him confused. That's not who I thought it was. I keep saying meat. Who is meat?
Oh, That was Sean Stasiak.
Sean Stasiak. Dude, that's what I'm thinking of. I'm completely wrong about that.
Okay. Well, then that explains why I forgot it.
Yeah, that's because it didn't actually happen.
He had that big-ass goatee thing and, like, the hair parted down the middle. He was, like, an anarchist or something was a character that Vince gave him.
No, I know who he is now, but I was thinking of Sean Stasiak, right? With the one that was all real, like Vince. Built like Eddie Guerrero with very like veiny and like very like ripped.
Yeah.
Like had that like,
well,
like that like
big
really.
Too.
Yeah, he was big like what do you call it big like.
He'd be more like Cesaro.
Like Davey Boy. Like Davey Boy kind of big, I guess. Yeah, only 43.
Sucks. Do you guys have anything else that you want to get to here tonight? I mean, I've literally exhausted everything I got.
Kathy, you got anything?
Nope.
Kathy, got anything else you needed to talk about?
BJ, you got anything?
No, we can officially end the show once Kathy has nothing left to say.
Well, how about we say our goodbyes and then Brady gives out our thank yous to our guests and our callers, and
yeah,
then we get out of here.
DJ, you're not gonna like quit our show just because you have a spinoff like Anthony did, are you?
Anthony has a spinoff still.
Jesus for Radio every Thursday, 5:30 Eastern. So we got a spinoff on Wednesday. World James, DJ and Derek. That's at 9:30 Eastern on the VOC Nation.
Don't worry,
Network.
My spinoff's more like Joni and Chachi. It's not really going anywhere.
I was gonna say you pretty much started it with like a 90-day window, you know. So.
Yeah, it's. Not so good. The show's great, but our promotion sucks.
I will make sure to check
but
it out.
But I know for sure. I know of two callers for sure tomorrow night, right? I got a confirmation from Ray and Kathy, right?
Okay. Yep. Yes.
I was going to say,
I remember.
Yeah.
If I remember. Ray always gets me if I remember in there.
That's a good qualifier.
But it's good, though, because... We're good because we'll finish with the Bobby Heenan show theme here, and you know his special was on the WWE Network tonight. His DVD. Just great stuff.
Oh, I just remembered something else. I put it on the internet earlier. The Facebook page, our private group page there. CM Punk bitching about royalties. Vince McMahon has officially slashed the prices on all CM Punk merchandise.
Be dialed.
He is willing to make 80% less money just to make sure CM Punk makes 80% less money. Keep that in mind, folks, and go get your CM Punk gear at WWEshop.com for $3.
Woo!
Whatever you want. I'm gonna go get a T-shirt and a hoodie right now. So that's where we're at. All right. Thank you for tuning in, guys. We'll be back next week in the room right here on the VOC Nation Radio Network. Sorry we're done early, but that's what it is. And don't forget to check out, I almost called it the Sports Show, Your Ultimate Fantasy with DJ and Derek, 9:30 tomorrow night, right here on the VOC Nation Radio Network. We'll see you guys next week.